And because he is who he is, I'm not going to tell him no. He's the main man. He is the chair of the state GOP here in Connecticut. My friend and yours, J.R. Romano. J.R., good, happy Monday morning to you.
Hey, good morning, Gary.
So how goes it with the youngin?
Yeah, right. Last night, I'm a little late today, but last night was a little rough with the newborn.
Yeah, keeping you up, huh?
Yeah, yeah.
You don't sound too groggy this morning. That's good. That's a good sign.
Yeah, fortunately I have a pretty good morning switch once I'm up, but it was definitely a rough night, late early night, whatever you want to call.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
So what's going on with the state GOP? Give us, because it's all been coronavirus and all of that stuff. So, what goes on the front lines right now on the political horizon for the state Republican Party?
Believe it or not, we're busier than ever.
Really? Okay.
Yeah. One of the things that many people don't understand is the state party is actually responsible for a lot of the infrastructure in regards to elections.
Okay.
Setting up the delegates and conventions that choose candidates. All that happens now. Most of the general public have no idea, but there are meetings and, elections for local town chairman, and we've had to kind of go into overdrive, working, by the way, because these are also things regulated by statute, working with Secretary of State and the Connecticut Democratic Party on developing and getting things approved for, satellite meetings. We're actually right now, and I just give out shout out to my staff, Nick and Rebecca. We've had to kind of find potential alternatives for conventions virtually.
Right.
And
yeah.
There's all these rules within conventions. So we've been looking at, Rebecca's been going through, my executive director's been going through, and looking through different companies. We just can't have a Zoom call, right? There has to be some mechanisms in place because of the way the states, there are some state laws that we have to, abide by. So there's a lot going on from that perspective because November's coming.
Mm-hmm.
Right, we don't get to put more time on the clock in regards to November.
Right,
so
exactly.
We're actually doing a lot, educating local RTCs, trying to work with local candidates on what best practices are right now, developing almost a new way to campaign in a very short period of time.
Are there any Democrats right now running unopposed in the state of Connecticut?
I'm sure there are. I mean, technically, it's still relatively early. Our candidate selection doesn't happen till May 15th, in that area, mid-May.
That's the convention?
I'm sorry?
That's the convention is May in May?
Yeah, that's when conventions are for local state reps, state senators, Congress, all in the middle of May.
Okay.
So we're preparing for doing that virtually, but we've had recently just a couple candidates announce that they're retiring, Len Fasano being one of them.
Yeah.
So as of right now, I wouldn't be able to answer that with 100% confidence. But I think we certainly have some great opportunity out there. We have a couple great candidates against Kathy Austin. We're looking at several candidates potentially against Matt Lesser. In your neck of the woods.
Yeah, that's right.
I wouldn't say anyone's unopposed. We just hadn't. There's too many candidates right now.
Well, there are some heavy shoes to fill. You mentioned Len Fasano and John Fry, who's actually going to be on this show
later on
this morning. Yeah, 10:10 we have him on. And Gail Laviel. Gail is really one of the smartest state reps you'll find in the House of Representatives here in Connecticut. She is phenomenal. I cannot say enough good things about her. And I also understand Rich Smith, right? Isn't Rich also retiring?
I think so.
State Representative Rich Smith. I forget what part of the state he's from, but I can see him in my mind right now. So do we have, I guess it's a two-part question. Number one, are these all Republican districts, number one? And number two, do we have really good candidates that... this year to that are running for this office to replace these?
There's two things that I believe. I don't believe in Republican districts any longer. I know that we've had districts that Republicans have won for a long time, but we have to work for every inch that we have. Every victory, our candidates have to go out there and work. That's not like really the Democratic Party, which is why sometimes you get elected people. And Gary, you served up there with, there were some state legislators who, you know, pushed these crazy things that would never fly if it were not a, such a heavily Democratic district.
Well, and to your point, I'm a Republican and I won twice in what is considered a Democrat district. So,
right.
You know, I guess to your point, that's very valid.
Yeah. But we're working on, I mean, one of the things that people often say about the state party chairman is, you know, I'm the coach of the team. But the truth is, I don't get to pick the players, right? there's a process where all the local Republicans get to pick who they want to represent them. And so, you know, a good candidate's relative in terms of what those local Republicans want. It's very different, say, for example, in John Fry's district, who's out in Ridgefield, versus Craig Miner, who's a state senator's district. Very different type of candidate, very different style of campaigning. You know, I leave, and I've been criticized for this, I leave a lot, all those decisions up to local Republicans and who they want representing them in Hartford.
Mm. And we have some former, some former state reps running again. John Chabon, I think, is running again.
Yes, John Chabon's running again.
Fred Wilms?
Say that again, Gary.
Is Fred Wilms, isn't he also running?
Fred Wilms is running again,
and
correct.
William Duff, he's running for Senate this time, though, right?
He's running for Senate this time. There's another candidate that announced in that seat as well as a Republican. That Senate seat, Dan Carter.
Oh, Dan Carter, yes. I remember Dan from my first term, just like John Chabon, my first term. Dan Carter, and then he ran for U.S. Senate against Blumenthal, if I remember, in 2016.
Correct.
Wow, so we've got some familiar names that are running again that had lost maybe in 2018 and maybe even in 2016. That's some good news.
John Chabon and Dan Carter went on to run for federal office.
Right, right.
And then Will Duff replaced Dan Carter, and then Adam Dunsby.
Oh yeah, Adam Dunsby, yeah.
Replaced, and then Adam lost and Will lost in 2018.
Yeah. So that's good. At least you've got there's candidates with name recognition in their district, and that's got to help.
Yes.
And that's got to help. All right. So we're looking at a virtual convention.
Yes.
In May. Okay. All right. Well, I mean, I guess if it's unprecedented, so I don't know how it, you know, you would know more than I or anybody else on how it gets done and the protocols that have to be followed.
I still in the back of my mind, as much as I'm trying to be collaborative, the fact that we potentially could be having a Republican Party primary in June is still agitating to me.
That's
a whole other story.
How does campaigning begin? You can't be doing doors. No one's going to open their door to anybody.
No, you can't do doors. But you know, we're trying to work with candidates to get more sophisticated on, you know, social media to make sure that they get approved as candidates and can advertise. You know, all the little steps that normally happen later. We're encouraging and working with campaigns and candidates to get that done sooner.
The online stuff is fine, and I guess that's the age that we're living in. But there's a part of your constituency or anyone's constituency who are just not connected or are, but very, you know, very superficially, you know, like maybe.
Well, I'm not going to divulge every strategy we're having. I'm sure you have Democrats listening, right?
No. Of course we do. But I mean, I'm saying, you know, there's grandparents who email and text their grandkids and or their children. But I'm just thinking that. Doing everything online. When you run for state representative or state senate, you really don't have the luxuries that
hand-to-hand combat.
You don't have the luxuries of getting television. You know, ads or press, or you're not getting their attention. You know what I'm saying? If you were to run against Blumenthal, Murphy, or somebody like that on a federal level, you know, they'd all be hosting debates. But on the state level of just state rep and state senate, you're really not going to have those Channel 3 coming to you or Channel 30 coming to you asking for a debate.
Well, not only that, in some instances, and I don't know, it's not 100% the case, but in some instances, you have local newspapers that aren't currently operating. So you can't even get op-eds in, right? You can't even get press releases in about what, you know, what's happening.
Or,
you know, and there's still this feeling of, do you talk about, you know, and I'd be curious, your listeners, is it offensive to say things like, based on what is happening to the state right now and all that we're dealing with, the fact that the Democratic Party, the Democrats in Hartford, raised taxes in 2019, do you think that was the right thing to the state to do, considering we were already at the bottom of the economic scale and now it's bad, right? Now we were losing jobs leading into this.
Yeah. Well, then my final question for you, JR, as I'm running out of time, is how do we divert people's attention away from the coronavirus, which, let's face it, that's been dominating the media and the headlines for so long, and refocus it on politics, even local politics, which is hard enough to get people's attention with?
Well, I don't necessarily know that we have to refocus. I think it's all encompassing. When you look at the fact there's been seven or eight times that Governor Lamont in this challenging times has been, I don't know how else to describe it, but unprepared, where he's misstated things that have caused panic and chaos. Whether it's when he first wrote out the first executive order, you know, what's closed, what's not closed. It took him 4 days to straighten that out. When it comes to this tragic story with the infant about having the facts right and going out there and scaring every family that has a newborn or has someone who's a woman who may be pregnant.
Yeah, I got 10 seconds. Go ahead.
And it's just, we have to be able to talk about that and relate it back to how they're managing the other aspects of Connecticut government and how there's issues there and what they've done. So, it's not an easy road, which is what we're going to try to help candidates do leading up to November.
Great point. Thanks for your time this morning, JR. We'll talk to you in 2 weeks. Be healthy, and we'll talk to you then.